Today, I'd like to talk on the subject of prayer. Now, prayer is one of the weapons that we have in the armour of God. The sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, is our short-range weapon. But prayer is our long-range weapon to bring us spiritual success. Now, there's a lot we can say about prayer, since there are so many types of prayer, and so many occasions when in the Bible we get illustrations of it. But in the time available, I'll limit myself to the prayer of petition and what God expects of us as we pray this kind of prayer. Now, an incident from the Bible that seems to me will be a very good way to illustrate what God wants of us. And so I'll do that today. First, let's see when God apparently does not expect us to use this prayer, the prayer of petition. This incident that I'm going to use as an example is in Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 39. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 39. It's all about the time when Jesus and his disciples were crossing the Lake of Galilee. And a massive storm blew up, such that hardened fishermen, which there were in the boat with Jesus, were scared and panicked and turned to Jesus for help. Let's read this together in Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 39. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with them. And a great windstorm rose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. So let's consider this. The disciples petition Jesus to do something about the storm. He goes to the front of the boat and rebukes the storm, which subsides immediately. The fact that he rebuked the storm suggests that it was driven by evil spirits, because that term there is used, the one he normally uses when he rebuked evil spirits in other occasions in the Bible. So it appears that this storm was driven by evil spirits and was indeed very bad. So it's perhaps no wonder that they were scared. But having done what the disciples asked, Jesus then chides them and asks if they still have no faith. It seems he expected them to behave differently in these circumstances. So let's read verse 40 to see this. In verse 40 we see this. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" Have you ever wondered why? Wasn't that a perfect example of good prayer? Fervent, effective prayer? It got immediate results. Surely it must be. So why is Jesus saying, "Why have you no faith?" Let's analyze the train of events. I'll give you my take on the subject and see how it fits with what you believe. First of all, at the start of the journey, Jesus said to them in verse 35, "Let us go across to the other side." He then got in the boat and went to sleep. So if God tells you, "Let's go across to the other side," what would you say was God's will? Anyone? Right. That's God's will, to get to the other side. God's will is what he says. Our expectation should be that whatever God says to us through his manual, the Bible, or directly, that he will fulfill it. That's his will. We can take it to the bank. Secondly, we know Jesus gave his disciples authority to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and cast out demons. And knowing God had declared that they were going to the other side, Jesus, I believe, would expect them to calm the storm themselves with their faith. They had God's will in their minds, and they had the ability, the authority, to calm the storm themselves. Now, God will help his children who come to him scared and panicking, as we may, because we're green, and often we don't realize our position in Christ. We don't realize the authority we have. He is rescuing us, as he often does, in his mercy. But if the problem is in an area where God has given us the authority and expects us to use it, it appears that he really does expect us to use it. That's why he gave us the authority. We are supposed to trust in his word, and the power is given us, and the authority, and go into action. We probably can do a lot more with Jesus in us than we attempt to do each day. Could it be that sometimes we pray and wait for God to act, and he's actually waiting on us? It's true that we can do nothing without Jesus. And people often say that when they want to say that, no wonder, I'm not doing anything. They'll say, we can do nothing without Jesus. But remember, as believers, we are never without Jesus. He said he would never leave us or forsake us. Again, that's his will, that's his word, we can take it to the bank. So when we say, of course we ask in faith, I don't understand why nothing has happened, let's be sure that we're not asking for God to do things he's asked or given us the authority to do. With our authority, let's do what he says. When Jesus said, proclaim the gospel, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead and cast out demons, if you remember back to your school English language lessons, the you is understood. It seems that where he has given us the authority, he expects us to use it. And in those situations, God calls believing him and commanding it ourselves, faith. So let's look at incident number two now. The next incident I want to talk about with the prayer petition is in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 15. Now Jesus, to my mind, used this incident to show us the errors of three myths that people often have about praying to God, but where we are nevertheless to use the prayer of petition. This is where God expects us to use it. It's a situation where he has not given us authority, therefore we have to go to him. So let's look at chapter 15, verses 21 or 22 to 28, section by section. Matthew 15, 22 to 23. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, send her away, for she's crying out after us. So this is the first section. When Jesus did not answer the lady's prayers immediately, his disciples asked him to send her away to stop her bothering them. And I think there's a lesson there for us. When we pray for others or for ourselves, if we do not see a quick answer, we must not become embarrassed or think it makes us look bad. You know, feel, I want to get away from the situation because it hasn't worked. So we don't do this again, perhaps. You know, I tried it once, it doesn't work, I'm not going to do this again. That should not be our attitude. It's not about us. It's God's reputation that's at stake, and he can look after himself. We are supposed to keep on praying. We, like that woman, though, must not let a delay in receiving an answer from God make us think that he's not listening or doesn't want to be bothered. I don't think that's it. I think that's myth number one. To use Old Testament terminology, if the sky seems like brass, keep praying in faith. God is listening. Maybe he just wonders if we're really serious. Now, when she continued calling out to him, Jesus spoke, finally. So let's follow that next bit in verses 24-25. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she came and knelt before him, saying, Lord, help me. This is the second part of the incident I'd like us to think about. When the lady carried on praying, Jesus said that he was only sent to the tribes of Israel. We, likewise, can be led to believe that God is only the God of just a few people. That's not true. Jesus has reconciled the whole world to God. This good news is for everyone. We all have access to God's grace through faith in Jesus. All of us. So if someone tells you that those miracles were for the apostles, then remind them that Philip was not an apostle and he worked big miracles. Remind them that John G. Lake and others right up till today are walking in those same miracles. Don't fall for this myth, number two. Just keep on praying, Lord, help me. Jesus has qualified you. God has provided all that you need in Christ Jesus. He tells us this in Philippians 4:19. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. It's according to the riches of his glory, not what he can rustle up on the earth. God has provided all that you need through the riches of his glory. You are included. So keep on praying. Now when she continued, like we should, Jesus spoke again. So this is Matthew 15, verses 26 to 28. And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. This third myth is that the blessings of God's provision are limited. It's not enough to go around. It's only for some. Jesus told the lady this idea also to see her reaction. Did you notice Jesus' play on words as he told her she belonged to the wrong nation? It was like a strong forehand in tennis, but she was up to it and returned it with a good backhand. She said that even the dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table. And I would suggest she was using the same play on words. God's provision is for Jews, yes, but for Gentiles also. There's enough for all. Now think back, all of you. When Jesus fed the 5,000 with just 5 loaves and 3 small fishes, there were 12 full baskets left over. After all the people of Israel that were there had eaten all that they could. It wasn't just 5,000, it was just 5,000 men. There perhaps were 10,000 or more people there. 5 loaves, 3 small fishes, it fed them all, and there were 12 baskets left over. There was one basket left over, symbolically, from every tribe in Israel to bless the nations. Remember what God said to Abraham? That all the nations of the world will be blessed through him. And I would suggest to you, that illustration just there tells you God's blessings are sufficient for everyone. God has made provision for providing the needs of all of Israel and all the nations. You are covered. This woman had not been given authority by Jesus to heal the sick. But hearing about Jesus, she put faith in him. In situations where we do not have the authority, we are to pray the prayer of petition in faith and with perseverance. We've been given the same faith as the Apostle Peter. If you write this down and check it out afterwards, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 tells you quite clearly, you have the same faith as Peter. You haven't got any small bit of faith, unless you like to think that all Peter had was the mustard seed worth of faith, but you have enough to do what Peter did because you have the same faith as Peter. So have faith in God. Whatever may appear to be against us, we are to persevere like that lady. And note that perseverance does not of itself mean months and years. She persevered for maybe, 10 minutes, and then got results. Don't stop, persevere. God is listening. Show you mean it. Jesus has qualified us. Show you know this. And God has made provision through Jesus' suffering, his death, and his resurrection to bless all of us. So show you trust him. And he has given us authority in many cases. Use it. Let's be believers who believe God and in faith do those works that he has called us and equipped us and anointed us to do. Amen.